A verbal apology for killing civilians. The top US commander in Afghanistan says he's sorry for the recent deadly airstrike in the country's southeast.
On those occasions when our forces accidentally kill or harm Afghan people, we are very sad. And I have come here today to offer you my condolences and my regrets, but importantly to apologize to each of you for this tragedy. I have a family of my own. And I see the faces.
U.S. Marine General John Allen apologized for the U.S.-led attack, which killed 18 civilians. Most of the victims were women and children. A couple of hours after Allen's apology, the U.S.-led NATO coalition confirmed civilian deaths in Wednesday's airstrike. The Western coalition had earlier said only Taliban militants were killed in the attack in Logar province. But locals said there were no Taliban there. The U.S.-led forces have already been under increasing fire over their deadly airstrikes in Afghanistan. They carry out the strikes to reduce their own casualties in the fighting against Taliban militants. Well, to tell us more about the situation in Afghanistan, I'm joined from Chicago by Mohammad Dawood Meraki, author and Afghanistan expert. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Meraki, first of all, we see that civilian deaths literally almost happen every day in Afghanistan. The question is, will a simple apology help the situation?
Well, first, thank you for having me. But to answer your question, a simple answer is, of course, no. We need to look at all these disasters, massacres, and killing in a very rational way. They have to understand Afghan people are people. They're human beings. They're deprived of their humanity, and they're being slaughtered every day, virtually every day. And tens of people are, you know, mostly women and children, of course, civilian. They kill them, and then they call it either militants were being killed, or they call it, you know, they throw an apology at people, basically throwing salt at people's wounds. This is not enough, of course, but the U.S. government needs to understand that calculus of revenge in Afghanistan, in Pashtun culture, is very complex. They don't seem to understand. You see, if you kill one Afghan, you create an animosity with a family, with a sub-tribe, with a tribe, an entire country. And this very calculus of revenge actually will facilitate the demise of the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. And to say it in a blunt manner, the blood of the Afghan people will sink U.S. forces in Afghanistan. That's given, because when will this be enough? You kill them today, kill them tomorrow, kill them the after tomorrow, apology after apology. If you know, a handful of Americans, you know, I don't condone any killing, but if an American is being killed or a European is being killed, the voices are being thrown, you know, heard over the continents that XYZ needs to be brought to justice. What about the justice for the Afghan people? They are not sheep. They are not even sheep. You don't kill like this. These are people. They're human beings. And the resistance that is in Afghanistan is a legitimate resistance. Anybody that justifies this under the pretext of democracy are traitors. And they are actually in cahoots with the invaders. This is a crime. These are various crimes. The invasion was an illegitimate act. And the continuation of whatever that emanates from that invasion is indeed illegal and immoral.
Indeed. Now, what is there that the people of Afghanistan can do to prevent further bloodshed and rid themselves of what they call the occupier?
The only, according to the UN Charter, when a people is occupied, the people have the right to resist in any form. The armed resistance will continue. But on top of that, people have to come to their senses. The occupiers need to come to their senses that any strategic relationship that will continue the war for next 10 or 12 years is not a solution. The solution is a sustained and sustainable peace, a peace that will come about as a result of negotiation and direct talk. Not continuous bombing, killing, and massacres. These killing and massacres need to stop, and they result in continuous animosities, continuous destruction. The Afghan people have had it for the past 11 years, they've been targeted in virtually every form of weapon. And as a result, the populations have been suffering from diseases, illnesses, congenital deformities. And then on top of that, they have to be bombed every day. So the only solution to the crisis in Afghanistan, and the only solution, is negotiation in peace and sustainable peace, not a peace that justice has to be part of it, not a peace that has to be imposed on the people of Afghanistan.
And just how much do you think the U.S. or the U.S.-led forces in general will suffer a defeat as the Russians suffered when they occupied Afghanistan?
I beg your pardon, I didn't hear the question. Could you repeat it, please?
Yes, do you think the U.S. or the U.S.-led forces will suffer the same defeat the Russians suffered from when the Russians occupied Afghanistan?
I will answer this question in a few sentences. The first portion I will say is that when Alexander the Great was fighting the Afghans, the Pashtuns in Afghanistan, he wrote a letter to his mother that I'm fighting in a country that every man living here is a lion and is filled with dignity. And he's telling his mother in that letter that you may have brought to this world one Alexander, but in this world, in this country or in this land that he was fighting, namely Afghanistan, every man is an Alexander. History attests to this reality. The British were defeated in Afghanistan, resulted in the crumbling of their empire. The Russians were brought to their knees and defeated in Afghanistan. And, people don't need to acknowledge and announce that we were defeated. But the United States occupied Afghanistan in 2001, controlled all of Afghanistan. Now they barely control 30% of Afghanistan. If that's not defeat, I do not know what else could be defeat.
Indeed. Well, on that note, we'll leave it there. Many thanks, sir, to Mohammad Dawood Meraki, author and Afghanistan expert from Chicago. Thanks for your time there, sir.